live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And, you know, we've probably got such a Pavlovian response just entrenched in the Iraqi people by now that every time Rumsfeld is on television, we're going to take significant steps towards putting the country back in the hands of the...
We're trying to get them more involved in their own funerals.
That's all it is. Well, we got to have somebody to put in those orphanages we just built. You know,
oh, yeah, so. We're into orphanage.
All right, it's 2 minutes and 58 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of November in the year of our Lord, 2003. Thanks for coming by. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios of Hot Talk 1080. KOTK, we're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, and we're here with F. Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. Coming up this hour, CNN radio correspondent John Bisney, who will talk about our efforts to hand the country back over to the Iraqis by blowing them into thousands of tiny little pieces. Later on today, we got today's top five. Truly awful in every sense of the word. I mean, yesterday's top five was pretty... it was only awful because, it just triggers some sort of a... You know, you spend a lot of time talking about hangovers and whiskey. It triggers a lot of unpleasant memories. And then we had that... we had that business with the Phil Collins and the Whitney Houston last week. Today's list, though, it's Ashton Kutcher's birthday this week, so his parents unwisely chose not to smother him in the crib 30 years ago this week. So we got the top five from Ashton Kutcher's birthday, top five songs from this week in 1973 coming up today. Also, Tim Anderson's going to be here, right? Is that right, Tim? Yeah, from Budget Computer. Our good friend Tim Anderson is going to be here from Budget Computer. You may have heard him. He does... there's computer time on the Saturday mornings, and it's like, if you think I'm hyperactive, you think I talk a little swiftly, you think I may be a little difficult to listen to because of the rapidity of the speech which comes out of my mouth, you haven't heard nothing yet. Tim gets here, I'm just going to have to leave the room because he just... that guy makes me look like Stephen Hawking when he gets on the mic. So he's going to be here later on. We're going to be... well, I know we're going to be actually handing off that laptop that we gave away at the listener party to the actual listener. And then we'll talk to...
our winner, George, is going to be here, too, as well.
George is going to be here. So Tim from Budget Computer is going to be here. We'll talk to him about all things computing and what's up on the horizon of... we're just going to geek out. That's what it is. It's just we're going to sit, and I can try to paint it as something better. I can try to depict it as something that's more sophisticated.
We're going to have Larry Flint.
Cultured air to it. Our culture today will come from Larry Flint. And then Tim's going to be here. We're just going to wallow endlessly in geeky discussions of computer things, because that's what we do. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. So we have Larry Flint news today, your
Jessica
phone
Lynch.
Calls, Jessica Lynch updates, and all kind of stuff to get through. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. It's Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Time for Rick Emerson, it must be noon. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, but I got the traffic in Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks pick, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
Not just news, it's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Breaking news, A flight attendant from Michigan has been sentenced for spiking a toddler's apple juice with an anti-anxiety drug that stuck the damn thing to cry. Could have stuck a cracker in it, but no, Daniel Cunningham will spend 4 months in home confinement. He's been fired from Northwest Airlines, pleading guilty in May to federal charges that include assault and distribution of a controlled substance at an aircraft. This case started last August. The 19-month-old's mother noticed the juice that was given to her daughter on a Northwest flight was bitter and foamy and had blue and white specks in it floating right at the top.
I'll guarantee you this, though, and the mom won't want to admit this. The mother, if you were to ask her this, she would deny it. You'd have to put her under sodium pentothal to get her
to
come to
this. Where can I get some of that stuff?
Exactly. The mom, up until the point that she noticed that you'd given the baby drugs, which you probably shouldn't do. I'll tell you what, you know, the preceding hour, 2 hours, happiest 2 hours that mom has had in like a year.
Flying you know? The friendly skies.
I mean, you know, that mom was probably sitting there going, ah, it's so peaceful when the baby's quiet. It's so nice when the baby isn't shrieking like a pig that's been shoved into a vat of hot bubbling oil. You know, and then she looked and saw that it's because they doped the child into oblivion. And I can't really advocate that, but I mean, I think
it
we can all agree.
Xanax. Xanax.
Yeah. We can all agree that babies are nicer when they're... Babies are just better when they're...
They're sugar and spice and everything nice.
No, the only time that babies are really cute is when they're asleep. I mean, we can... That's because they just make, you know, they make kind of that low, snuffling, sort of snoring sound, and that's kind of adorable. But then as soon as... Babies are not unlike people in this sense. That as soon as they wake up, that's when the trouble starts. As soon as they wake up, start making noise, start trying to talk to you and asking you for things, that's when they become irritating and annoying. You know?
It's not like letting the cat out.
No. So just get a chia pet. Save yourself the trouble.
Meanwhile, closer to home last night, Howard D made about $80,000 at a dinner held in Montgomery Park. He charged $100 for regular people and $25 for students. There was a surprise outside, however, when rednecks in a pickup truck with Confederate flags drove by.
Oh, God.
They were politely told they were not welcome on private property.
We can't drive around.
No.
No.
But we
no.
can walk around.
No, with the signs you can't. Excuse not on this property.
I mean, it's just, you know, we just pretty much wanted to kind of, you know, make a presence known here that you know, he's not going to be able to get away with everything he says.
So that was last night.
I don't understand. Where was he at?
Montgomery Park.
Which is where?
In Northwest. It's a big old warehouse.
All right.
They held a dinner there last night.
Okay. And they were protesting what exactly?
That he said that he was after the votes of people who drove around in pickup trucks with Confederate flags on them.
And they're angry that he said that, or they're angry that he...
They really didn't say it. They were angry or not. They wanted to bring it to his attention.
It's so unclear to figure out what people are protesting. It's so hard to discern
that
sometimes.
You know,
yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Anyway, this is the... We are now about to go into the most complete, thorough... I don't think I left anything out of today's Battle Watch.
All right, here's your Battle Watch for Wednesday in the Rick Emerson Show.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
We're bombing Baghdad again. And so far, we've killed two of the happy savages. Just hours after a car bomb killed 17 Italians and 8 Iraqis in Nasiriyah. Now, the Italian Prime Minister is angry, but like Bush, he won't be deterred from the mission.
No intimidation must move us away from the willingness to help that country to be free.
Meanwhile, during this battle, correspondent Ben Wiedemann in Baghdad has asked if things are deteriorating in Iraq.
We've heard from Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, the head of coalition forces in Iraq, that they're adopting a get-tough strategy, and this may be part of it. Part of the problem, however, is that many Iraqis think that this is a case of overkill.
Or just enough kill, as the case may be.
Meanwhile, the President's Secretary, Scott McCullough, remember him? He scoffs at the suggestion that Iraqis are turning against us.
You know, obviously, you can understand some of the concerns of the Iraqi people that they express, but the Iraqi people see a better day coming and appreciate, I think, the efforts that are being made to help them achieve a free, peaceful, and sovereign future as quickly as possible. But
You can tell the better day's coming when it starts with American AC-130 gunships raining fire and destruction and death on everybody around you.
You bet. It's all about freedom.
Yeah.
He gets defensive and asks why the president has failed to publicly acknowledge that two of our helicopters were shot down recently.
American. I disagree with the whole premise of the way you phrase that question. The president talks on a regular basis about how we mourn the loss of every one of our men and women in the military who paid the ultimate sacrifice in the defense of freedom.
Or at least we did when the war was still going on. Now that the hostilities have ceased, of course, it's
not.
We're not even since apparently the press aren't even allowed to photograph the actual caskets coming back to Ramstein Air Force Base anymore. So.
Nope. Meanwhile, Larry Flint will not publish the alleged nude pictures of war hero Jessica Lynch.
So much negative publicity out of this that I've decided not to publish them. And in retrospect, she is, very much a victim in this.
You know, what a strange country we're living in when the bar for morality is being set by a pornographer who speaks like a slowly winding down frog.
He claims to have purchased these photos from Lynch's fellow soldiers who took part in an amateur photo shoot before they went to Iraq. Flint has been talked out of publishing them by several women in his life.
My wife and my publicist, who's a female, have been all over my case. And every woman in America is going to hate you if you do this.
Not like now.
He's a fine patriotic American.
He really is. Well, he said that somebody asked him what he was going to do, because I guess it's not, somebody claimed that they were just topless, and he says that no, the full deal. And they weren't taken before she joined the military. They weren't taken when she was like 17 or something. I mean, these were like taken by other guys, supposedly, taken by other guys in the military of her after she joined the military, but before she went to Iraq. And it's unclear about whether anybody else from her unit or whatever is posing with her in them. But then they ended up with him, which means that there's gotta be more copies out there somewhere. You know that there's, no guy takes nude photographs of you and doesn't keep a little something for himself. Guys always keep those, the negatives are always lurking around the house. A guy, boyfriend ever takes nude photographs of you, there's copies somewhere. Don't ever believe any boyfriend who tells you, no, I've destroyed those, all that's not. Cause the thing about guys is, guys are kind of like your Depression era grandfather. Your grandfather, he was always hoarding things. Like my grandfather would hoard Schick razors and whatnot just against the day when the stock market would collapse and he wouldn't be able to shave properly. And your boyfriend's the same way. That's why guys hoard pornography. You'd think that really one magazine, one video cassette, one DVD full of smutty pictures of the older Osmond sisters would be enough. Not so much. Guys stockpile that stuff against the day that there's some sort of gigantic international pornography crash, and they want to make sure they're not left in the lurch. So it is with nude photos of you. Any guy ever tells you, especially in the age of digital photographs now, tells you that he's gotten rid of them all, not so much the case. But they asked Flint what had happened to those. They said, well, you're not going to publish them. What are you going to do? And he said, well, they're going to go into the vault next to a whole bunch of other good stuff, which makes your imagination sort of run wild.
Don't
imagine,
you just want to get into that vault?
Dude, I mean, imagine just being able to wander around and Larry Flint. Because I'm fascinated, for one thing, by the whole concept of the vault. I don't know if the vault is by the Fortress of Solitude or if it's like in its own place, but you ever hear bands talk about that? Like when bands are putting out a box set or they're putting out a remaster or something, and they'll go, well, what about these, Gene Simmons, what about these new tracks? And he'll go, well, we found these in the vaults, and we thought that the Kiss fans would want to. Like, where is the vault?
Don't you know, like salt mines of the Midwest?
Yeah, it's like one of those things in Denver.
Like old Tonight Show videotapes.
Cut out of the side of a granite mountain or something. So I always want to know where the vault is. I just want to be allowed to do like a big supermarket sweep or something through there.
Larry Flint feels that Jessica Lynch was taken advantage of by the Army.
I think the bigger story is the mainstream media and the government in terms of how in their quest for a hero out of Iraq sort of force-fed us this Joan of Arc, and she turned out to be nothing but.
Yeah, all right.
Meanwhile, Jessica tells her story to ABC's Diane Sawyer on Primetime Tuesday. Lynch told Sawyer she did not fire her weapon during the March ambush that ended with her capture and several of her comrades dead.
My weapon did jam, and I did not shoot. Not a round, nothing.
Yeah, nothing but the finest equipment for our troops. Didn't that happen? Didn't we? Isn't that like a known problem? Didn't that happen in Vietnam like 35 years ago where you're going to fire the gun?
We got to start buying Russian weapons. They never will.
Seriously, can't we just find out whatever? Can we just buy stuff from school children? Their guns always seem to work properly.
You got to clean up with a pipe cleaner.
Yeah. Anyway, Jessica says she has no memory of being sexually assaulted.
I don't want to have any at all memory ever for that to come back so I can remember that. I don't want that. That's the part that I hope that fades away forever, and I never, ever, you know, recall any of that.
You can't expect to be, well, I suppose she's from West Virginia. She could have ended up working at the Tasty Freeze or something like that.
But you totally spotted it. She doesn't have a West Virginia accent.
She sounds like East L.A. or something.
She does. She doesn't sound...
Sounds like she's from the hood.
I don't know what to do with Jessica Lynch. It's weird to me, yeah, because she doesn't sound at all... I mean, not like I'm some expert on West Virginia. Like I've spent a lot of time up in the Hollow or something. But she doesn't really sound like she's from there. She does sort of have a West Coast accent to her. But, you know, what are you going to do?
And get this, we're not done with this yet. The Army now admits that a Salem soldier, not Lynch, fought the enemy and battled to the end.
So really, there is actually no part of the story that's true.
No, but this part they think is true.
Okay.
The Army now concedes that there was a blonde-haired soldier that fought to the end, and now they say it looks like it was Salem's Donald Walters. Now, apparently, Walters' mother, Arlene, claims the Army got the genders confused.
They got the genders mixed. They were using the wrong pronouns or something. They were referring to he as a she.
Seymour Skinner's mother.
So that's that.
All right. Okay. So there's really nothing in the story at all that we reported that was correct. So really,
we told you it was a lie in the first place.
News organization, just so you know. So every single conceivable facet of the story was misrepresented and conveyed incorrectly by the media.
But one copy of the Jessica Lynch book was sold by a New York bookstore I read today.
They were just, God, that thing's just tanking bigger than life, too, man. It's just biting the dust. So is there also an Elizabeth Smart book?
I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway.
Maybe get a copy free with, you know, stovetop stuffing.
No one's with your fill up at the Amoco. They'll give you, we got your pocket calculators or the Jessica Lynch book. What would you prefer? All right, are we down there?
Yeah, that's it for the
All right, there's your Battle Watch. We got more on the way, including CNN radio correspondent John Bisney. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You meet people who haven't owned bat out of hell and you just feel sorry for them. You just weep bitter tears of pity. That they wouldn't have owned it.
I actually don't currently own a copy.
But I have. You have owned it, though.
Oh, I've owned two copies.
That's what I'm saying.
They've all disappeared, and at present, I do not have a copy.
All right. 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show, here with Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley, F. Matt Peterson. Coming up soon, we got the CNN radio correspondent, John Bisney, who's going to talk to us about how we're building
We're building a democracy.
It's just one of those days. We're bombing a building apparently used by, quote, insurgents. It's hard to see how there really could be any insurgencies, since nobody in that country has any legs left. But I guess it's just what we do when there's really nothing else to do with it. There's like a long wait at the cribbage table or whatever at the Pentagon, we just start bombing things. So we'll talk to Bisney about that. Coming up later on, we got our good friend Tim from Budget Computers is going to be here. We got today's top five, Jolie from the front desk, etc. Here's Tim Riley in the KHK newsroom.
Looks like there's a big mystery today. Some canned beans are missing and some stuffing mix. From the conference room. I think they were...
You can't take that from the car. That's for homeless people.
Apparently somebody...
You can't steal food for the... You can't steal food... Look, I know that people in radio don't make a whole lot of money, and sometimes you got to rummage underneath the sofa cushions to try to find little starlight mints that somebody fell out of their pockets or something. You can't come here and steal food for the homeless.
There's like six people here. Who would steal that?
I don't know. I'm not
what about
pointing.
The people on the weekend?
I'm not pointing any fingers at Steve Taylor, who's a board op here in the afternoon, who I think probably has stolen food for the homeless. But I'm just saying. Just making the observation. I can't prove that he did it. It's not like I have videotaped evidence.
Is this community stuffing?
Sorry, what the hell? Who take? First of all, who steals stovetop stuffing to begin with? Secondly, what else is it?
Canned green beans.
Canned green beans. I mean, what? How small is your life that you're stealing a can of green beans off a conference room table that's meant for homeless people? That's a one-way ticket to the place where the guy with the horns and the stick conducts his business. You know what I mean?
But you know what? I think people are worse off because I haven't found any French fries dropped between the numbers and the keyboard lately.
Oh, God, no. And it's fine. Although, you know, and we do have it better than some. I was talking to Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, and she noted that, because she wasn't able to be here last week because she said she was behind on deadline. And I was thinking, oh, you know, because she publishes Barfly, which is, you know, it's a work-intensive magazine. It's just her and a couple other people. But I found out that the reason that Jen Lane was behind on her deadline from Barfly Magazine is because she was sitting at the keyboard typing drunkenly, of course, and spilled like a big gin and tonic right into her computer. And so that's really why she wasn't able to get the work done, because she spilled a big tankard of alcohol right into the works of the machine. So I forget how we got on the Jen Lane, but I don't know. It's Tim Riley.
Well, the federal government is trying to put the brakes on what's described as the fastest-moving scam in Medicare, fraudulent claims for power wheelchairs. Health and Human Service officials say that we are being taken for a ride, and the cost is about tens of millions of dollars. The number of Medicare beneficiaries who at least have one claim for motorized wheelchairs is soaring, but it appears that a lot of those claims aren't legit. Some of the chairs don't exist. Sometimes a Medicare client is in on the scam, as are doctors who write bogus prescriptions. Other times, equipment suppliers get the patient's Medicare ID number and submit a phony claims. More than 50 investigations are underway in nearly two dozen states, where $167 million in fraudulent wheelchair scams are being investigated.
Am I the only one who thinks that people in motorized wheelchairs are kind of sissies, though? Do you see, like, if you ever go to the mall and there's like three guys going by you and they've got the regular wheelchair and they're having, you know, they're turning it by hand, and then you see some guy like go by you in the Timmy chair and you think less of that guy just a little bit. I mean, I'm not trying to bust on those who are differently abled than myself. I'm just saying there does seem to be sort of a wheelchair hierarchy. You know, there's people who've, you know,
some are more mobile-eye challenged than others.
Well, and then there's those guys that are like super buff, like looking like Schwarzenegger in the three-wheeled ones.
Yeah,
know what I'm talking about?
No, I and I'm not alone. It's like my, you know, my father-in-law's in a chair, right? And so he's got no legs and whatnot. So, but you know, so he's out there and, you know, he's rolling along in the chair. And I've actually been with him in public. We were in Vegas one time. And so it's like we're rolling through there, and he's in the chair, and he's, you know, pushing himself along. And it's like then some other guy who, you know, has workable arms. You know, it's one thing if you're like a, you know, a quadriplegic or something, a paralegal or Christopher Reeve or whatnot. But we're in Vegas, and so my father-in-law's like rolling along in his chair, and some other guy who obviously has functioning arms is sitting there, and he's rolling along in the motorized chair with a joystick. And it's like, I swear to God, under my breath, I heard my father-in-law go, "That pussy." You know, as we rolled, I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure that I heard that come out of his mouth as we went by the guy. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. From Capitol Hill, our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, John Bisney. How are you, my friend?
Up all night, man, up all night.
What? Sorry, a lot of wild parties going on there with the speaker with or something, or?
Well, no, I'm not really going to be here all night, but all right. The Senate's going to be, starting at 6 o'clock, a 30-hour talkathon here, well into Thursday.
And why again?
Well, it all comes down to the tactics that the Democrats are using as the minority here to stall about three or four of the president's nominees to appellate courts. The Republicans say they're not playing fair, that they're abusing the rules, but the Democrats say, you know, we're just playing by the rules, folks, and politics is a tough business.
All right. So it's going to be a fun night for you. This is one of those days when you're wishing you'd listen to your guidance counselor and just become a botanical engineer or something.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, all right. Hey, are you talking much about the whatever it is we're doing in Iraq today? Have you had a chance to kind of look into that at all? I don't know if we're just bombing Iraq today because we're bored or if there's some specific threat we were addressing. Do you know much about that?
You know, I really don't, Rick. I know that the U.S. has been engaged in what they've been calling an operation over there, and, you know, presumably they're attacking some specific target, as opposed to just, you know, blowing up a munitions dump. But there have been some explosions heard around Baghdad, and it's got people's attention. Obviously, they're pretty noisy.
Yeah. This this 30-hour talkathon that you're gearing up for with, you know, what really seems to me to just be, you just got that. I can sort of hear you setting your jaw from here. Just the grim determination of a man facing a long, uninteresting story he must cover. I mean, that's. I mean, this is the sort of thing that kind of makes Americans annoyed at politicians, isn't it? Something that technically, you know, follows the laws and the rules that they're, you know, they're obliged to follow, but really just seems to be a colossal waste of everyone's time in some sense?
Well, look at it from the point of view of the people that we all believe here are behind this, and that is a lot of conservatives, right-wingers in the Republican Party who are mad because they think that the GOP in the Senate hasn't done enough to press this case, to get the president's very controversial in these three cases, appellate judges approved. So, you know, in a sense, it's the American system working, I guess. They are exerting pressure on their duly elected officials, and they're responding.
It is kind of interesting to say that under some circumstances, the American system working is almost indistinguishable on its surface from that of complete and total gridlock. So,
I don't know, everybody's got a voice, and I think one of the undeserved dirty words in Washington, two words, is become special interests. And if you think about it, all of us, in some way or another, are a member of a special interest. And it's when everybody is out there clambering to get their voice heard that it sounds kind of chaotic. But it, I don't know, kind of works out in the end.
That is true. This country will run right once I'm installed as some sort of irremovable dictator. That's going to be, you're going to see some streamlining on that day, my friend.
Can I be your vice dictator?
Yeah, well, I suppose. Okay. It was a close, it was down to be, you know, you and Jim Roop. So, I don't know, we'll make him Secretary of War or something.
Excellent.
Right. Seeing the radio correspondent that John Bisney on Capitol Hill. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Riding on a borrowed Harley Davidson, John Kerry appeared on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno as rancor within his presidential campaign continues. The Massachusetts senator wearing a leather jacket, blue jeans, a denim shirt, rode the motorcycle onto the stage, and nobody was really thrilled by it, as they usually aren't about John Kerry.
Riding a Harley makes you look like a tool. It's just time that that be said out loud. Riding a Harley makes you look like a poser, all right?
There are guys that can get away with riding Harleys.
You know who can get away with
John
riding Harleys?
John Kerry is not one of them.
Guys named Hacksaw who've done time. If you've killed a guy or you're busy running some sort of a meth lab.
ZZ Top could ride a Harley and pull it off.
You haven't shaved your beard since 1962. You refer to your girlfriend as your old lady. You talk about whatever you're wearing on your back as your colors, and you know what blood wings are. Those are guys who can ride a Harley. Nobody
else. How about Tupac Shaker? Could he do that?
No. And everybody else, you know what? Everybody else just looks like some guy that, you know, everybody looks like some other guy from Smith Barney that's taking a weekend off to try to look like a badass. You know what I mean?
How about Dick Cheney?
No. No. Wait, no. And here's something else we need to quit. We need to quit allowing guys who don't own Harleys to wear Harley clothing everywhere. That looks even worse. When some guy getting into a Torino wearing a Harley shirt. I mean, you see that all the time.
With a Harley sticker, like, on the window of his, you know.
What the hell is that? Yeah, you go to Costco, yeah, and some guy getting out of a Festiva, you know, and he's got the Harley to live to ride to live, you know, and it's, what are you doing, you know? He's going there to buy a big case of crab puffs for his family, you know, in Tualatin. That's something you got to stop doing. I'm just saying. All right, let's talk to Joe. Oh, this is car stereo. This is a guy who installed my car stereo many moons ago. Joe, what's up, man?
How's it going?
What do you got, brother?
Hey, I heard you talking about people stealing food out of your for your homeless people or whatever.
Someone stole from the homeless. They came here and they stole stovetop stuffing. Now, first of all, the homeless don't have stoves. They don't have homes, and it sort of does follow from not having homes that you're not going to have a stove. So I don't know whether it's just right out of the box with a spoon for those guys, or I don't know how that works. But,
yeah, man, down at like Camp Dignity, and so they get those little, you know, like one burner things.
Sterno stoves.
Yeah, Sterno. They can cook some stovetop up on that.
Yeah, well, okay.
I like to see a commercial for that.
It must be the day for it. I got a story to add to it that happened about 9 hours ago. Woke up this morning and. My wife comes into the bathroom to take a shower, and she sticks her head back in the bedroom. I'm still laying in bed. She says, "What'd you do with the shampoo and conditioner?"
Uh-huh.
I said, "I didn't do anything with it." And she says, "Well, where is it?" And I said, "I don't know. I didn't do anything with it." And she says, "Well, I didn't do anything with it." I said, "Are you suggesting that somebody broke into the house in the middle of the night and stole our shampoo and conditioner?" Well, long story short, I walk down the hallway, and sliding glass doors wide open. turned around and looked, the cell phones are gone, PlayStation's gone, all my DVDs, CDs, and a great big stack of wedding gifts. It's now a little bitty stack of wedding gifts.
But also your shampoo and conditioner?
Yeah.
The hell is that about? That's kind of, I mean, I'm not trying to gloss over the other stuff, that sucks, but that's kind of the creepiest part is the shampoo and conditioner. What the hell is that about?
I have no idea.
Wait, is the bathroom, where is the bathroom relative to your bedroom?
When they were in the bathroom, they were about 9 feet from us.
Oh, that's the kind of thing that'll keep you awake at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is completely, it's not my business. I hope you had maybe at least a little insurance on that stuff, or at least you've got maybe you can guilt trip your friends into giving you everything again.
Hey, maybe.
That's what I do.
We kind of like the whole idea of the wedding anyway. It was kind of cool, you know, have a big party and then they kick us out and everybody else cleans up after us. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
That's a bad scene. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, man. That sucks.
Yeah, so, and I'm still sitting here at house right now waiting for the glass company to come out and fix the window. They messed up one of the windows. They broke in through the sliding glass door.
That's terrible. You know, the worst thing about being robbed, though, and I've said this about having your car stereo stolen, if you've ever had your car broken into, the worst part is two things. It's the feeling of being violated, you know? It's like your personal space has been violated. And the second thing is, that is a crime that an idiot perpetrates. And so it's the feeling that a puny brain has got one over on you. It's the feeling of being beaten by a moron.
Exactly.
All right. Well, keep us informed, man. I hope you're able to maybe locate some of your stuff. And
I hope so, too.
And buy a gun. All right. There you go. That's Joe. It's 503-250-TANETTI in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Some guy tries to steal my conditioner that's, you know, it's going home without a head? I don't think so. All right, we'll be back.
What are you going to do to him,
tough guy? I'm going to have you come over and shoot him. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Someone who shall remain nameless on the show just remarked as we were going into the break that sounds like what would happen if Richard Cheese was a house guest at your place. Not going to say who made that comment. Here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You know what I would buy? You know what they should put out right now that I'd be for buying? They ought to be putting out a Dr. Dre box set just of all the stuff. Because the stuff that he's produced and written and appeared on and engineered and remixed and had a hand in creating, it's spread over 900 different albums. All of which I don't really want to own. Like, I don't really want to go, what is this, Mary J. Blige or something? Or is this, what's her name, Faith Evans?
No, this is Mary J. Blige.
This is the
Family Affair.
But I don't want to go buy the whole record, you know, but this is a great song. So they ought to be putting out a box set.
You want a box set that's just...
It's the work of Dr. Dre, you know, 1989-2003. Dr. Dre's records. Just all the stuff he's done. It's like, I feel the same way, like we were talking about Meatloaf. A while back, and Jim Steinman, who is the guy that that wrote "Bat Out of Hell," and he wrote "Bat Out of Hell 2." He also wrote "Total Eclipse of the Heart," "Making Love Out of Nothing at All," you know, "Faster Than the Speed of Night." He wrote all those, you know, just all that he wrote. It's All Coming Back to Me Now, you know, just all those great songs. But I don't want. Frankly, I don't want to go buy a Celine Dion album. You know, even though I want that song. You know, by him, because I'm a big fan of his songwriting. But it's like, I want it all on one box set. So I want everything Jim Steinman has written or produced on one box set without having to go buy all the disparate... That's the problem, because he's not a performer. He's a songwriter and a producer. So I would be forced to buy... Like 90% of the songs would be crap I wouldn't want.
I don't know if you could ever get that done, though. Because you'd have to deal with Death Row. You'd have to deal with Ruthless and Aftermath. There'd be so many different... Record labels you'd have to deal with.
It'd make me happy. All right. Not that my happiness is important to anybody. It's 503-250-TANETTI in Portland. A first-time caller.
Yes.
It's Corey. You're in Portland. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
Hey, what do you got?
Hey, I got a couple comments. I heard about your little Harley sticker on the Festiva comment.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a Festiva, and I was about to put the Harley sticker on.
And now I've stopped you. Yeah,
well,
here's...
It's an incentive, you know, it lets other people know I like Harleys, but, in, you know, intentionally I intend to get one later on down the road, but, you know, not everybody's a poser. I've been in love with Harley since I rode my first one when I was 3 years old.
Yeah,
It's just the only reason I have a Festiva is because it gets 45 miles to the gallon and it's dang durable, so I drive it. I drive a lot.
I don't know. I'm not saying you are a poser. I'm just saying it puts you together with a category of people that I don't think you want to look like. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I just think it puts you, I think it puts you in a class of humanity that you probably don't want to be compared with.
If it was
up to me, and I'm not saying, I'm just saying if it was up to me, I would wait and just have the Harley, you know, and then just ride the Harley so you avoid looking like one of those soccer moms that's trying to look tough. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I really get sick of driving down the road and seeing somebody on a Harley that looks like they're a CEO executive, and they're trying to look the bad part.
Do you know...
They don't play it off very well.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when I see, like, a Nine Inch Nails sticker on a BMW. You know? It's like when I'm...
Yeah.
You ever be there, or you're on the highway, and you see, like, a Rancid sticker on the back of somebody's Mercedes, and you just want to take... You just want to pound... when I see those guys, I just want to take a baseball bat and go break every piece of ass on that car. It's so tempting to just drive them off into a drainage culvert, you know? But anyway.
Yeah. It's like right now, I'm on 205 heading north to Portland, and I'm right behind a... Volkswagen Bug with a Pantera sticker on it.
Yeah,
they don't match.
Yeah. See, that's one of those things that doesn't mesh.
But I also wanted to comment on your. I turned on the radio when you were talking about someone stole a bunch of food from the homeless.
Yeah.
And I really think that's pointless. I mean, whoever's stealing the stuff, they already, before they steal stuff, have more than the homeless, and it's just kind of making it worse for the homeless. But also, petty things like that. I had my car broken into a couple weeks ago while I was at work. And we have a fenced yard with barbed wire. We keep our cars there, and we work night shifts as well as days. And the bad thing about it is my car got broke into, and my coworker's got broke into. He had a nice Volvo.
What did they steal? Did they steal something stupid out of your car?
Yeah, they stole an Army duffel bag.
See, why? It's like what Sarah was saying, that somebody broke into her car, and they took the jack-in-the-box thing off her antenna.
Oh, I'm still bitter about that.
Yeah, and a pack of cigarettes. You don't steal someone's cigarettes.
Well, my friend,
even I know that.
Yeah, her car just got broken into, and they broke the back window, and all they took was her loose change, a bag of clothes that she was going to donate anyway, and a pack of cigarettes.
See, you don't do that. Hey, Corey,
they broke my window, and they took an Army duffel bag, a regular backpack, the change out of my thing, and a toolbox with no tools.
The change out of your... I mean, that's like stealing the Wham cassette out of your stereo or something. Where do you where do you work at? You want to give him a plug? Or?
I work at the Penn Hall Company in Portland, union laborer, Local 121.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for listening. You spread the word, man.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. There you go. There's Corey in Portland. Yeah. No, it's like... Well, I told you that story about that. Somebody kicked out the back window of my Cressida. They took out my guitar and my chords and my effects pedals, and then they didn't even steal it. They just threw them down a hill. Like, I was parked on the edge of this hill. Like, my apartment building was on top of a big hill. And you know, there was slope downward on the side. And they just kicked out my back window, took out this guitar. It wasn't an expensive guitar, but it worked. Took out my electric guitar, and then just, like, they just totally did the discus, you know? I think they spun in a circle and then let it go right over the hill.
What's a Cressida?
It's like a Toyota.
No.
What is a Toyota? It's like a really cheap Camry. Anyway. Yeah, so they did just enough that I couldn't ever play the guitar again. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Thanks for going the extra mile. Dicks. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. We'll be back. Here's the Riverdales. It's Hot Talk 1080. KOTK.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Tim Riley. Don't miss the grand opening event of the all-new Golf Etc. of Murray Shoals.
Come in and spin the wheel of fortune. Save up to 40% on anything in the store, golf, etc. Murray Shoals on Shoals Ferry Road, just west of Murray Boulevard. A Nobel Prize-winning economist says the $800 million tax surcharge approved by the legislature to balance the state budget won't hurt the economy and may even help it. Joe Striglet says spending on road repairs and other infrastructure maintenance will usually be good for the economy and create jobs. Walmart launching a grassroots campaign to drum up support for a proposed supercenter in Medford after encountering higher-than-expected resistance. The retailer mailed nearly 24,000 letters to Medford residents that claimed the store plans are being opposed by a small minority that didn't represent community views. Student drink violations have nearly tripled at the University of Oregon. The school blames it partly on crowded dorms and says it reflects a national trend on college campuses where young people drink. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon, color for mostly sunny skies. Highs in the mid-50s, clear tonight in the 30s. Jim Riley, KOTK News.